I want to give a general overview over all the manuscripts that we analyzed, as we have heard some examples. So, but first let me introduce you to the field of variant readings and the problems one could face by looking for them in the manuscripts related to Fustat. The Paleo-Quran project has identified at the moment more than 700 manuscripts that belong to more than 300 different codices related to Fustat, with most of these identified manuscripts being in libraries in Paris, St. Petersburg, Cairo, Istanbul, Gotha, Dublin, and Copenhagen. These manuscripts differ in a number of areas, for example in script, colors used, and in reading system which they use. When talking about the reading systems implemented in these manuscripts, one could imagine the seven reading systems as they are proposed by Ibn Mujahid in the 10th century, which became the canonic reading systems of the Quran. But the problem with this assumption is that it is unclear if these manuscripts may or may not have been written before the time these canonic reading systems were established. This means that it can be regarded as quite unhistorical to speak about reading systems as we know them today to be found in these manuscripts, as it may be possible that the manuscripts predate Ibn Mujahid, could have used an own unknown system, some sort of mixture of the well-known reading systems, or that the writer or the writers choose the readings he or they personally preferred at the moment. Another problem is that manuscripts may have been written by different hands or could have been edited by a later hand to fit a certain reading the later hand preferred. Some manuscripts implement different colors to represent different alternative readings, specific letters or signs. In theory, it could even be regarded as unclear if the visual text in black ink and the vowels marked in a specific color forming the primary reading, which in the Fustat manuscripts is in general the color red, really express the same reading, or if the writer of the black visual text had one reading in mind and a later hand added vowels in another reading. The same question applies when there is more than one color used in the manuscripts. Were all colors added by the same hand, or were they added one at a time by different hands? In which order were these colors applied to the text, and how much time passed between their adding? The first notion would be to assume that the color that is used in general to show vowels is also the first color to be added to the visual text. But which color comes after that? The color that is applied to the text is second most common, but what if the colors added to the text have a certain meaning, for example, that they are connected to a certain city or region? I would like to show an example on the word Ufin in the manuscript Codex Arab 39 from the Royal Library in Copenhagen, Denmark, folio 6 recto, line 5, surah 21, verse 67. In this example, we have four colors used to express five readings. Whereas the primary reading of the manuscript in red reads Ufin, as do readers from Medina and some from Kufa, the yellow color suggests Ufan and Ufu, ascribed to readers from Mecca and Basra. The blue color proposes Ufi, connected to readers from Basra and Kufa. And the green color offers Ufa, which has links to some readers from Mecca, Basra, and other cities. Now, based on the number of entries, the yellow color would be the secondary reading, which could mean that it was added after the red color. But as we have two different readings in yellow color in the same word, the question to ask would be why there are two readings marked in the same color and which one was added first. The first question, why two yellow readings were marked, there could be answered by assuming that the writer saw that all other colors were already used to express other readings, and therefore he had to use one of the colors twice. The question which one of these two yellow readings was added first is a bit more complicated to answer. One could have the idea that maybe a canonic reading was added first, but then again both of these readings are regarded as non-canonic. The manuscript itself does not give a hint to find an answer to that question. Therefore, the question in which order the colors were added to the manuscript cannot be answered at the moment. Now, I would like to delve even deeper into the subject of variant readings in the manuscripts, connected to Verstaat, by presenting examples which show further problems and questions that should be asked while working on variant readings. First, I would like to talk about manuscript Codex Arab 41 from the Royal Library in Copenhagen in Denmark, and related manuscripts which are part of Codex of a codex which the Paleo-Qur'an project named Codex Amrensis 102. The numbering of the Codices Amrensis is related to script type, and therefore this codex got the number 102, even though manuscript Codex Arab 41 was analyzed relatively early in the Paleo-Qur'an project. In fact, it was the first one we analyzed. Most of these codex numbers are just for preliminary use and will be revised and changed accordingly in time. Fragment Codex Arab 41 consists of 36 folios, is written on parchment and lists the Quranic text in 6 lines. Other fragments belonging to the same Mushaf can be found in the BNF in Paris with Arab 349E, in the Topkapi Saray Museum in Istanbul with EH 25, 28 and folio 26 from EH 26, and in the Russian National Library in St. Petersburg with Marcel 55. The script type is D2. Every fifth and tenth verse separator verse is marked by a more distinctive verse separator. After the Besmela, no verse separator is present. The verse separation in the Danish manuscript differs in 3 occasions, and in the Paris fragment in 4 occasions from the Kufic verse separation system that is used in most Quranic print versions today. Furthermore, the verse separation system proposed by this manuscript does not match any system known today. In the Danish manuscript, few diacritic dots are used, mostly the letter nun. At the moment, it is unclear why the diacritic dots in this manuscript are added in some cases and left out in others. Apparently, only one reading system is present in the manuscript, as only the red color marks most of the vowels. The yellow color represents the Hamza in this manuscript. Hollow red dots mark vowel-less letters, for example, in folio 2 recto, line 4, the word on the letter wow in the word hulaika, in Surah 59, verse 19. You see it with the red arrow. Small red shadow signs are added seemingly later to the text. For the first part in the Paris fragment, they seem to be added very scarcely, but beginning from folio 113 recto of the Paris fragment Arab 349E, the shadow markings begin to be added more frequently. This could indicate a change of hands, or that the hand adding the shadow signs deemed it necessary to place them more often from that folio on. Thin red lines mark assimilation rules, and the position of these lines mark what letter is lost due to assimilation. A blue dot with a red line marks a rule where the Hamza is eased up or completely lost. For example, in folio 16, recto, line 4, where the word ya'ti in Surah 61, verse 6 is marked to be read as ya'ti. The variant reading in this manuscript or codex appears to be, at first glance, that of Warsh and Nafia. For one, the before-mentioned easing up or losing of the Hamza is one rule related to the reading of Warsh and Nafia. A reading related to the Mim al-Jam in this manuscript, where the suffixes hum, him, kum, and tum are read as humu, himu, kumu, and tumu, only then when a word beginning with an alif hamza follows it, also points to Warsh and Nafia, for example, in folio 2, recto, line 3 and 4, in Surah 59, verse 19, where the words fa'ansahum and fusahum ula'ika are proposed to be read as fa'ansahumu and fusahumu ula'ika. The only rule that is not marked in this manuscript is that of the imala, or rather that of taqlil. In the same example, the reading Warsh and Nafia, as it is read today, reads the before-mentioned words, ansahumu, before-mentioned word ansahumu as ansahumu. This means that even though most of the aspects in this manuscript indicate that manuscript Codex Arab 41 follows the reading of Warsh and Nafia, there are 2 points that stand against that conclusion. One, the word separation system is seemingly not connected to Medina. And two, Taqlil or Imala cases in certain words are ignored by this manuscript. Furthermore, the other fragments related to the same codex offer no further details regarding the reading. It is possible to assume that the reading proposed by this manuscript is not that of Warsha Nafia, but is still somehow related to Nafia or the city of Medina. And now to summarize, even though this manuscript has many similarities with the reading of Warsha Nafia, I would advise against connecting one of these manuscripts to one of the established reading systems of today, as this manuscript contains just one small part of the codex, and through this small sample, it cannot be automatically assumed that the whole codex will show similar results. Another example I want to show is that of Codex Amrensis 254. At the moment, five fragments have been identified to belong to that codex. One fragment in the BNF in Paris with Arab 330C, and four fragments from the Russian National Library in St. Petersburg, namely Marcel 11, 12, 13, and 15. But for this presentation, I will just focus on Marcel 11 and 12, as there is a problem with fragment Marcel 12 in comparison with the other fragments, namely that Marcel 12 lists the Quranic text in 22 lines, whereas the other fragments list the text in 25 lines. The reason of this difference could be that the hand that wrote the text changed, but if that happened, what about the reading implemented by in these readings, in these fragments? Did the reading also change with the hand? So fragment Marcel 11 consists of 12 folios and Marcel 12 of 10 folios. Both are written in on parchment. The markers of the 5th and 10th verses are somewhat remarkable in both of these manuscripts, as they are changing depending on the surah. For example, in Marcel 11, between surah 30 and surah 50, the 5th verse is marked either with a normal verse separator or by a huge gap between the words. The 10th verse separator with a black circle with a red circle in the middle. Beginning with Surah 40, verse 15, abjad letters are taking the places of the 5th and 10th verse separator. The huge gap in place of the 5th verse separator could indicate that it was planned to add special markers in that place, which in the end could not be done for whatever reason. In Marcel 12, which is covering Surah 10, verse 22 to Surah 11, verse 102, meaning its pages come before that from Marcel 11, the 5th verse separator is marked by a normal verse separator, and every 10th verse is marked with a black circle with the red circle in the middle, like in Marcel 11. This alteration of verse separators could indicate that the hand that added the verse separators changed. The verse separating system in Marcel 11 appears to follow that of the city of Basra. In Marcel 12, there is a problem with the verse counting. Whereas it appears as if Marcel 12 also follows the Basra verse counting system, with just one runaway value, it seems as the hand adding the 10th verse separators miscounts sometimes the verses, as sometimes between these special separators we have 8 normal separators, and other times 11 or 12. After the Basmala, there is always a verse separator present in both of the. After the Basmala, there is always a verse separator present in both of the fragments. Vowels are only marked in red color, which would indicate that only one reading is proposed by the manuscripts related to this codex. Regarding the diacritic dots, there appear to be two hands to add them in black ink. One hand that added the diacritic dots together with the visual text. These diacritic dots only appear a few times. And another hand that added frequent diacritic dots, seemingly later. In theory, we could therefore speak about more than one reading implemented in these manuscripts. For example, reading 1, old black ink, reading 2, the new black ink, and reading 3, the red vowels. The hand adding these newer diacritic dots apparently also added alifs to words who were also read before with an alif, but where it was not written. Other times, seemingly the same hand rewrites words that appear to have been disintegrated due to corrosion. The reading proposed by these manuscripts appear to be somehow connected to the city of Basra, as there are readings present that are in later works either connected to the canonic readers Abu Amr or Ya'qub. But then again, we have runaway values that point to the city of Kufa or the Hijaz. For example, in Marcel 11, folio 3, recto, line 14, the word da'afin in Surah 30, verse 54, is proposed as da'afin, which is a purely Kufan reading and also used in the dialect of the tribe of Tamim. Therefore, the majority of the readers proposes to read, whereas the majority of the readers proposes to read da'afin in this place. Also in Marcel 11, in folio 11 recto, line 11 in Surah 34, verse 5, the variant Rajzin can be found, which is unknown to the works on variant readings. The works cite instead the reading Rujzin and attribute the reading that reading to the reader Ibn Muhaisin from Mecca. Then again, the reading in the manuscripts could be interpreted as Rujzin, maybe. However, the majority reading in this verse is Rijzin. Another reading not related to Basra can be found in Marcel 11, folio 4, verso, line 24, in Surah 31, verse 30, with the variant Tad'una, which is connected to readers from the Hijaz, Ibn Amir from Damascus, and Shorba from Kufa. Now, in theory, this variant could be imposed by the hand, adding the later diacritic dots, as the variant Yad'una is preferred by readers from Basra and other cities, and could have been not marked in the manuscript. But as there is no other evidence to indicate that Yad'una should be read in that place, this appears to be just speculation at first. But then in Marcel 11, folio 10, verso line 20, and Surah 11, verse 101, there is the same word Tad'una again marked seemingly by a later hand, but now also the variant Yad'una is added, probably at the same time as the visual text. It could be argued that this could be a mistake made by the hand, adding diacritics that he wanted to correct. But in Marcel 12, five other cases can be found where new diacritic dots are added in places where diacritic dots were already present. These older diacritics do not always allude to Basra, as we see in this example in Marcel 12. The works on variant readings do not cite any variant to the word Tad'una in Surah 11, verse 101, meaning that the reading Yad'una in this verse appears to not be connected to any reader or city. Then again, this could be a case of homogenization of readings, where the writer or readers try to impose certain readings that are only appearing a few times to the whole text of the Quran, deliberately or by not knowing any better. To classify these kind of readings that are not mentioned in the works on variant readings, these cases have to be registered, even though we do not know if they are mistakes or lost readings. By comparing these cases with other cases in other manuscripts, we could maybe solve this mystery. In conclusion, it appears that a reading proposed by Codex Amrensis 254 seems somehow to be connected to the city of Basra, as both the word separation system and reading show an affinity to that city, even though there are runaway values that point to other regions. This statement also applies to both Marcel 11 and Marcel 12, which shows that even though there are differences, the characteristics of the supposed reading and of the verse separators did not change. This could also indicate that the vowels and special verse separators were added later, when the visual text of the codex was already finished. And now to conclude my presentation. Through the Paleo-Quran project, over 50 manuscripts belonging to Fustat have been already analyzed on the field of variant readings, orthographic differences, and differences in the verse separating system. At the moment, there are around 15 to 20 codex entries filled with data in our database, with more to shortly follow. At the moment, it can be said for the analyzed manuscripts that the colors in the manuscripts connected to Fustat have not a specific code in which they are used, meaning that every manuscript appears to use colors independent of one another to mark specific signs or to mark readings belonging to certain regions. Normally, there will be overlappings in the usage of colors, but to find manuscripts that belong together to the that belong to the same codex or were made in the same workshop or have other connections is somewhat difficult, then again, various aspects have to be considered. Also, a similar look of two manuscripts does not indicate necessarily that they belong together. The readings in these manuscripts appear to not follow the reading system systems proposed by Ibn Mujahid completely, but rather show some affinity to certain regions or to certain readers. Therefore, we have manuscripts that may correspond from 70 to 90% with the today known reading system, but runaway values should not be disregarded completely, as we maybe see patterns through the later written works that maybe were not considered by the writer of the manuscripts, or that did not even exist when the manuscript was written. Maybe the writer or writers choose to follow a today unknown reading or had some own grammatically preferable variants that he or they implemented into the manuscript. Or maybe these runaway values are simply mistakes. We also can say at the moment that it appears as if manuscripts belonging to Fustat written in a specific script type do not always showcase the same readings, meaning that a manuscript written, for example, in script type D1 can have a red-colored reading in one manuscript connected maybe to Medina, and another manuscript featuring that script type, the red-colored reading could connect to Kufa or any other city. And with this, I finish my presentation.